This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Mitch McConnell there. It's back. Congress is back. What are they going to do right to the end of 2019? Kate Delaney broadcasting from LaGrange, Georgia. Thrilled to be here. I'm speaking at the Governor's Conference on Tourism. They have such a clever name. I got to thank Julie Musselman for hiring me, her and her committee for picking me, because it's all about leading the pack, GTC 19. I'm going to send pictures that all of you can see, post them all over the place. Just say send pictures. I'm going to post them all over the place on Facebook, etc. And it's, boy, just a who's who of everyone related to Georgia and even beyond the borders. They had a really stellar 2018, and they're on top of it as far as tourism is concerned. Is Congress going to be on top of it? Members of Congress have had 6 weeks away from the Capitol, most of them, but they're back, and a lot happened in August. We know that. You got senators and reps that were in recess when we had mass shootings, so the whole gun violence thing is up for grabs. Guns, with four high-profile mass shootings since the House left. The most recent was in the Midland, Odessa area of Texas. Terrible. Seven people died August 31st. You remember that. And then that followed the horrific massacre in Gilroy, California, El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio. 43 people altogether dead with the combined shootings, and so many more injured. So here's what we know. The Democratic-led House, they're going to focus on the issue. They're holding news conferences, a forum, floor speeches. The House Judiciary Committee has a hearing scheduled later this month on assault weapons. They're also going to hold a meeting on a whole bunch of other measures. The Senate isn't expected to take up any of them, and instead they've been talking about alternatives like addressing mental health, video games, a proposal that would provide grants to states that create red flag programs. Of course, red flag programs are huge. I think tougher background checks we've talked about on this show, and we've talked about that with a lot of different people too as well. So, you know, you heard Mitch McConnell, you've got big discussions, I'm sure, with Mitch McConnell coming, and the president and the House Speaker, and you know, there's a big push and there's a lot of reaction to this. Now, trade is another big issue. It's been 10 months since the U.S., Mexico, and Canada signed off on the North American trade deal. That's a big deal. It will come up for a vote in the fall, but House Democrats are still working on a bunch of concerns, which include enforcement and labor standards. So that's one thing. Then, I mean, there's a bunch of really important measures and really important discussions. You know, there was a sort of a little bit of a drumbeat about impeachment, which is ridiculous. If I was a Democratic strategist, I wouldn't even go there, because I don't see what the purpose, pushing the impeachment thing. But a majority of House Democrats do, and they've called for a formal impeachment inquiry, a list that grew over the summer recess. Their leadership is resisting it, though, and they're pointing to ongoing investigations and looking at congressional committees and lawsuits and uncovering new information, but not really pushing the impeachment envelope. I'm talking about the leadership of the Democrats. Prescription drugs, opioid crisis, drug pricing, also something Republicans and Democrats actually have a consensus on, where we think they're kind of seeing eye to eye, coming up with solutions that could pass both chambers before the end of the year and before the election season. And of course, Nancy Pelosi has been working on legislation that is supposed to appeal to moderates that want to accomplish a key campaign promise, and that is change to holding companies accountable and significantly lowering prices. Woohoo! Do you want to pay less for your drugs when you're sick as a dog and you go and then you're shocked at whatever it costs? Of course, that's a, I mean, seriously, that is a bipartisan issue. I don't see how you're going to have a lot of blowback on that. I cannot imagine that we would see that. The other big thing is Dorian left a couple of people dead. I mentioned this already. Three people, 3,500 without power in North Carolina. The Governor Roy Cooper, of course, state of emergency. We knew this was bearing down on the Carolinas, and there were some problems. There's no question about that, but not the kind of problems that we thought could have happened, like what we saw in the Bahamas, where you've got 70,000 people. 70,000 people. Think about that for a minute. I'm going to slow it down. That are just homeless. It doesn't matter. You had money, you had a gorgeous house, you were making okay money, you were surviving. It was a big tourist place, and it's just in a shambles, like Grand Bahamas, just absolutely awful. Another big conversation is about North Korea. North Korea is willing to resume talks this month, but what are the talks going to be about? Nuclear talks, of course. Is there a chance of any kind of a deal? You know, flip a coin. Right now it looks like kind of in the maybes, but I don't have a seat at the table, so I can't tell you that for sure. This is just based on supposition with conversations that I've had with people who do know a little bit more about the stakes because they're closer to the action, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. Right? Yes, of course you know what I mean. Yes. I'm out of breath already, and we just started this show. It must be the clean air that I'm inhaling here in Georgia. This is crazy. This story has to go at the top of the show. 9 elementary school students, imagine this, you get this phone call, were sent to the ER after inadvertently eating weed candy. Yep, they had marijuana-infused candy. They were 10 to 12 years old. This was in Cooper City, Florida. A student accidentally brought in candy laced with THC, packaged almost identical to common sour candy. That's the idea. And guess what? It wasn't sour candy. So they went to the hospital. You can imagine, like I said, you can imagine that phone call. Oh, your child has ingested some THC. How's that possible? Some candy. Whoops. That's a big oops. It does look like that. You know, there's been arguments about the candy that looks like it could be any kind of candy and how many kids could get a hold of that and not realize that it's not candy for them. Just stay away from the bad candy, kids. Just stay away from the bad candy. All right, let's talk about something fantastic. And how about this? Anytime there's a rescue, you think of rescue workers, you think of Coast Guard, anybody in the rescue business. And this is interesting. This is something that that has been talked about a ton in Georgia, and of course it's the cargo ship that capsized. And the ship was just boom, it was over, it was on fire. It didn't look like, you know, how could you possibly get anyone out of it? If you haven't seen it, whatever search engine you use, go and check it out, because it's amazing that they were able to pull the people off the ship, the workers off the ship that they were able to pull out, but they did. And I think it's brilliant. It's a day to celebrate whenever you get a chance to do that. All 4 crew members from the capsized cargo ship were pulled out. So kudos to the Coast Guard for being able to do that, because it flipped over, it was on fire, it was nasty. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here, because I can
still see one wrinkle, it's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Interesting times of what we're talking about here in this country in this edition of For Your Health. Autism, in fact, there's a new character on Sesame Street that has autism, which I think is great because so many people are living with autism, dealing with autism, and the more we understand, the better. We have Paul Loudon with us. He's got a new book out called Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Author of this new book, Paul Loudon, understands personally what this is like as an autistic adult. So, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning and realizing and understanding autism and wanting to share your story. First of all, what made you want to share your story?
It sort of happened by chance. It started as the person I was working with to help improve my symptoms and my situation. She had a radio show, and she invited me on as a guest with the intent to trick me into co-hosting it with her, which led to me learning and practicing talking about it. And it just sort of became a realization that I was more verbal than a lot of us on the spectrum and more able to explain things than a lot of us on the spectrum. And so it became clear that this was just something that I had an opportunity to do. I was in the right situation, and I really wanted to try to help people understand better some of the things we struggle with.
Yeah, so when you were a kid, when were you diagnosed with autism?
I was diagnosed at 23, so not a kid
wow.
at all.
Wow. Yeah, not a kid. Yeah. So that means your family, so growing up, did you realize something was different? Did they realize something was different? I mean, that had to be difficult.
So a variety of factors played into my late diagnosis. One, I'm 34 now, so it was a decent amount of time ago. I was born in 1983. By the time I was, you know, an adolescent, it was more of the ADD craze, and I did get diagnosed with that. before that, though, we also moved around a lot. My dad worked in oil, so we were overseas and then back in the U.S. and then overseas again and back in the U.S. And so while I was struggling with social things and a variety of other things, there was always that element of, well, you know, he's just left all of his friends behind and he's having to make new friends and meet new people and get used to living in a house with a wall around it or whatever. You know, there was always those elements. So it wasn't really until high school when we settled back in the States, and particularly when I left to try to go to college and things started falling apart, that we realized that something was seriously wrong and just how seriously wrong it was. And then, fortunately enough, at about 21 or 22, I stumbled across an article about autism, and particular Asperger's, and from reading that article, it gave me inspiration to go and consult with a neuropsychologist and seek diagnosis.
And what did the neuropsychologist tell you about the spectrum and Asperger's and all of that?
Honestly, not much. What I worked with her on was just the testing. So go in, parents go in and talk about her history. I take a variety of tests. Some of them are standard IQ tests, things like that. Other ones are ones focused more on autism. And then I got a diagnosis in the mail just telling me you've got Asperger's. And from there, it was largely about research on my own, trying to learn more about it, read about other people's experiences with it, and try to spend a lot of time learning about myself and how I experience the world.
So in finding that diagnosis out, getting that in the mail, Asperger's, like you said, finding out more about yourself, what are the things that you have to battle as somebody who has Asperger's?
Well, first, I do prefer to just say I have autism now because the Asperger's diagnosis has been removed in the latest edition of the DSM, and I feel that's generally for the better in helping people recognize that it is one disorder and that those of us who may be higher functioning still often have significant challenges. I have severe challenges with self-management and motivation. I have a hard time upkeeping my living space, regularly paying bills. I regularly lost jobs just because I was a very extremely literal person, and so I actually read the employee handbook, and I would contradict my boss on things when he got things wrong, and that, you know, technically correct is not the good kind of correct, despite what Futurama may say. So there were a lot of issues all along the way, and so between that, some comorbid conditions, I have gut issues and things like that. I have sensory issues in particular relating to sound. So I've got a whole range of symptoms that provide me with struggles in day-to-day life.
You talk about communication. What parts of communication are challenging for people with autism?
One of the big things is that with autism, we're typically seen by people who don't have autism as missing a lot of things, that we don't pick up on, you know, facial expressions, body language, tone of voice. But we also tend to not use that as much ourselves, and we often feel that other people are missing carefully chosen words or very clear to us statements. And so it's sort of a two-way street where we communicate in a different way than the people around us do in many cases, but it's a situation where if we're in a room full of autistic people, support group or whatever, we often find that we feel pretty comfortable because the people around us communicate like we do. So a lot of times it's the implied communication, be it something like sarcasm or tone of voice or something like, you know, gee, that garbage can sure looks full, meaning would you mind taking out the garbage without actually saying it? And so there's a whole host of things that we tend to miss in communication, but we also feel like people misinterpret our communication in ways that we find surprising. For example, I might say, I don't like McDonald's hamburgers. Now, to a typical person, that means the same thing as I dislike McDonald's hamburgers, but I might just mean it as saying, you know, I'll eat them, but they aren't on my list of things I actively seek out. You know, it's not a dislike, it's just also not a like. So I might be extremely technical in how I say things that people don't get, and that can often lead to someone being insulted or interpreting a statement as more negative than it is. And so there's a lot of conflicts of communication that benefit from both sides understanding that the other side communicates differently.
Oh, so agree with that. Powerful what you just said. What kind of advice would you offer up to parents to understand a little bit better a child who is autistic? Because, I mean, we know that that's a big struggle.
One of the biggest pieces of advice I give is that if they're communicating at all, be it verbal, be it nonverbal, such as actions or even just random sounds, place as much trust as you can in them, even if it doesn't make any sense to you. If they say, you know, that hurts, don't say, oh, come on, it's just a little, because sensory issues mean that it could feel a lot more severe to them in terms of hurting or being bright or being loud than it does to you. And so a lot of times you run into this situation where as you experience things, people keep telling you, oh, it's not a big deal, or I believe you can do it, and then you fail at it. You start to lose faith in your own decision-making process. It can be hard to trust yourself when no one around you trusts you. So wherever you can, trust their experiences and try to solve problems in ways that validate their expression of what they experienced with that problem.
Yeah, again, great advice. So you know this, the FDA is trying to find some insight from people with autism, so you would be one of those people. And given that, what would you tell them about treatments? And you've been talking about it, what you've done yourself, but what kind of treatments would you say the FDA should look at?
You know, one of the things that has helped me personally the most, I struggled a lot with depression, and when I finally found the right medication for my depression, it also helped with my anxiety somewhat. And I discovered that a lot of times I was spending 10, 20, 30% of my energy on managing anxiety, which meant that I only had 70% on dealing with additional stuff from autism, and then additional stuff from autism would increase my anxiety, making it even harder. And so as I got my anxiety under control, my ability to deal with some of my autism struggles, things that would normally bother me dramatically, like if someone at a nearby table had their children watching videos without headphones, it used to make me so tense and so stressed that I'd be doing everything to get out of the restaurant as soon as I can. I'd be like, okay, I want to pay my bill, I want to leave, I need to get someplace more my control. And now it's just sort of like, it happens. So I found that a lot of times what helps, and I've heard this from other people, is treating not the autism, but the other conditions that often go along with it. You know, if they have gut issues, finding out if a dietary solution can help with that. Pay attention to nutrition issues. Pay attention to any other comorbid symptoms. Seizures are common in individuals with autism, subclinical seizures. So you don't even see them happening, but they can cause someone to appear to, you know, lose the idea mid-sentence and stare off into the distance or whatever, where it's the brain has a seizure internally that doesn't show up as the stereotypical physical expression of a seizure that a lot of people think of. So there's a lot of comorbid conditions with autism, and I think that, you know, while we don't really have a good idea for medications to treat autism itself, there's a lot that goes along with it that we can treat that can really help people struggling with autism be more comfortable and then better able to interact with their therapists, their therapy, their family, their educators, anyone around them in more positive and constructive ways.
All right, great place to end this. Great stuff. Paul Loudon, the book is Behind the Locked Door, Understanding My Life as an Autistic. Pick it up. I'm assuming, Paul, people can get it on Amazon, right?
Absolutely. People can get it on Amazon or loudononautism.com to find out more about me and see some of my videos and blog posts.
Great. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
I'm going to Washington with clear eyes and a steel spine. Republican Dan Bishop has inched out a victory over Democrat Dan McCready in North Carolina's 9th District congressional election. The margin of victory was about 2% in a district that President Trump won by 12% in 2016. Bishop spoke to reporters.
We know what our mission is, and we know the future of our country is dependent on leaders who will stand strong to protect our values.
National Security Advisor John Bolton has been fired with reactions from one top Trump administration official. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said he's never surprised by anything the president does, including announcing the dismissal of Bolton via Twitter.
This is USA Radio News.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client at Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Fool Yourself. We have Mary Sue Padgett with us. She is the Brookdale Senior Living Executive VP of Operations, and so timely this is. I have a couple of friends in this situation where suddenly they're in charge of taking care of an aging parent, and they really didn't plan for that. In fact, statistically speaking, 41% of adult children have no plan in place for their parents in the event of a medical emergency or sudden passing. My family dealt with that as well. It's really, really tough, so it's so timely that Mary Sue joins us. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. And, you know, as you've quoted the statistics, there are a lot of people in the same position in terms of making plans with their parents for the future. And, you know, it's so important to start the conversation early and do it before there's an emergency. Quite often, parents don't have an opportunity to kind of control their own destiny because a hospitalization or something else occurs that emergency plans have to be made. I know it's stressful as an adult child. I'm in the same situation to start that conversation. But I think one way to do it is really to say to your parents, what are your long-term goals and how can I support you in achieving them? And that really puts the conversation in their hands to control it versus children rushing in to, you know, try to solve things for parents.
Yeah,
so I hope that was helpful.
Sure, for doing it ahead of time. So what are the benefits of senior living?
You know, we have found so often that once a resident moves in with us, that they said, I wish I had talked to my children about this earlier, and I wish I had made the decision. And I think it comes down to this. When a senior is living on their own, and even with a spouse, as they age, they become a little bit more isolated, and repairs on the house and cooking meals and making sure they're taking medications becomes a little bit harder and harder. And once you move in to a community with those type of services provided for you and having all the socialization, we find residents who say, I have more friends today than I've had in a really long time, and they're my age, and we're doing things that I've wanted to do for a long time, and I'm learning some new things that I never thought I would do, like painting or woodworking or going to events like the theater downtown. And so again, don't wait too long, because I think that we find that residents, once they move into a community, begin to really thrive.
Yeah, and you know, this is a big question people have. What's the best way to pay for senior living, or how do most people pay for senior living? I'm sure you've got tips that can help us lower the cost.
Yes, we do. So most people pay for senior living through a variety of different avenues. One is the sale of their home, retirement savings, it could be their own pension or their spouse's pension, Social Security, but there are several other avenues to think about as well. And that's why being proactive in the decision-making process and beginning to talk about options gives you an opportunity to research these things. So, for example, if you're an active war veteran or a spouse of an active war veteran, there are VA benefits that are available to you that you may not know about. Excuse me. Also, if you're in an emergency situation where you have not had the opportunity to sell your home, there are bridge loans available that many financial institutions offer at pretty low interest rates that you may not have been aware of. And that helps you begin to pay for care while you're selling your home. The last piece, I know, right?
Yeah, great ways to look at this and great places where you can go. And I know you have a website that has so much information. I went there just the other day, and it's brookdale.com, right?
Yes, it is. And if you go to brookdalenews.com, because of these interviews that we're doing, we've actually put some resources there that are pertinent to how do you start the conversation with your parents. There's a brand new resource that we have found very helpful to many, and that's an ebook that's downloadable that will help with questions and tips on how to start the conversation.
Oh, I love it. Perfect place to end this, Mary Sue Patrick. Thanks so much for joining us to talk about this. And again, it's so timely for so many people that are listening. She's the Senior Living Executive VP of Operations for Brookdale. Thanks, Mary Sue.
Thank you, Kate.
Wow, so interesting to talk to Mary Sue Pageant about something that affects so many of our lives, and that is when you have an aging parent, how difficult it is to deal with it, and especially when you're not prepared emotionally, financially, and it's tough to have the conversations, the hard conversations, because, and I've been frank about this on the air, because I lost my mother to colon cancer. We didn't get deep into that, but we did get deep into a disease, and we were really thrown a curveball where she was so, so healthy, and it was a really rough time trying to deal with that and sort it out because we weren't prepared. So I hope in this conversation with Mary Sue Pageant that you get the idea, and she said about the ebook you can download, that being prepared in this circumstance put you so far ahead of the game. In fact, I want to go back to some of the statistics that I briefly threw out and attribute them to this new survey that was conducted by OnePoll, and that was on behalf of Brookdale Senior Living. 58% of adult children polled said talking about senior living with their parents was incredibly uncomfortable and stressful, while 49% of adult children haven't discussed financial planning for their parents' later years. So think about those numbers. Those are crazy statistics, and I bet a lot of you fall into that, and I completely understand why. But the stress of planning for your loved ones or for seniors or for later years, and then the stress put on family members is incredible. So you can multiply that, and I think getting ahead of everything that I've talked about on this show, and I think of as a kid, just being close to great-grandparents and their wisdom, And luckily, in that scenario, there was lots of family around, and everybody's passing that I can remember anyway in my lifetime was pretty nice in a sense, because we weren't struggling with these issues, because I think there was so much family around, that's what made the big difference. But that's not happening as much anymore. Most people think the annual cost for a senior living community is $59,287, because they did that, those statistics as well in their poll. 33% said they won't be able to afford senior living. Most people, 46.1%, say they plan to pay for senior living with their savings. Yikes. So it's not only just about taking care of the people in your life, it's also about you planning for what lies ahead for your life. And since we have no ways other than trying to keep ourselves healthy or whatever, and maybe looking at family history, we all don't know, you know, death and taxes, as they say. We don't know what our timeline looks like. And so the benefits of being ahead of that, again, are, I think, so incredibly important. And this is coming from somebody who, as I just mentioned, take off my talk show hat for a second. In my family, because there were people that were aging when I was a kid but had so much support, it was a whole different kind of life that was happening versus so many more where you live, you're living longer, you don't have the relatives, you don't have family members and places to go and that kind of thing. And that's why in looking at this issue, it's so vitally important to have some serious conversations with yourself, with the people around you, so that you can make a smooth transition either for parents, grandparents, or even for yourself into the future. I mean, what are the costs going to be? What are you going to do? And what does that look like for you? And especially because of health challenges and not realizing what they may be or may not be. You know, it's interesting when you're younger, you remember this, right? There may be some 21-year-olds listening to me where you feel completely invincible. I certainly remember that. And then suddenly when you're hiking, you get this pain that you never had before in your foot, that's plantar fasciitis, or something else happens, and then you're more aware of, oh, yeah, this is part of the whole aging process. And again, when we're talking about how old are you, I have friends who have parents. I just talked to someone even the other day who had a parent who was in their 90s and they were living on their own, but they had a big community around them and they had watchful eyes and people helping and they weren't stranded. And I think when you look at senior living, and you look at where you're going and how do you pay for it, and I think the tips that you know Mary Sue gave us are vital. Look at ways to lowering the cost, and you know where do you go? And we mentioned it, but I'm going to say it again. Go to Brookdale.com, because there's a wealth of information there. Ways to talk to family members. Don't wait for that emergency. Instead, get ahead of the game and have something in place. Like when we talk about emergency preparedness, whether you have a go bag, and you see there's some tragedy, and if you had just been a little bit more prepared, maybe it would have been easier. And this is a life we're talking about. So pay attention to that conversation that we had and what you can do to be in that survival mode of, okay, what are the next steps either for yourself or, as I mentioned, for the people that you care about, so they don't end up in a scenario where there's that desperation, there's the emergency, and everybody's sad and everybody's panicking and you're trying to figure out what it is that you need to do. All right, we're continuing the conversation next. In a different direction, this time we're talking about veterans and traumatic brain injury, what we do know, and some of the help that is on the way that's already happening for veterans. So hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side.
Do I want to be with you as the years come and go?
shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily, now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Fellow patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221. Or go to the website, Angioprim.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Oh, shake my brain. Oh, shake my brain. Where is my champagne? Oh, shake my brain. Oh, shake my brain. Oh, shake my brain. Where is my champagne? Oh,
Scientific Program Manager, Office of Research and Development, Department of Veteran Affairs. As all of you know, this is so near and dear to my heart because I've had family members affected by this and certainly friends as well. And September is TBI month, and it's a super important time to understand really the common causes and symptoms of traumatic brain injury. Doc, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for bringing attention to this very important area.
So when we look at it now and where we are, how is TBI diagnosed, or traumatic brain injury, for people who don't know the acronym?
Oh, well, it depends on the situation. if it's sports, a lot of times it's on the field where they do at least the first level of diagnostics, which is usually some sort of screen. It can take place on the battlefield or in military training. And they also have screen and other diagnostics in place where they can tell whether a person may have suffered a concussion or a more severe brain injury. In the VA, a lot of times the veteran that comes in, their last brain injury was a year or more in the past. And so we have screening available, especially for those who fought in the recent conflicts. And we also, if they are positive on the VA screen, they are invited to come back for a comprehensive evaluation by a trained medical provider. And that's how it's diagnosed in the VA.
Wow. And, you know, I think that a lot of people don't understand the symptoms or the causes. What are the most common causes?
We're talking about, let's say, sports head injuries. There's not always loss of consciousness. The person is not always unconscious after they have suffered a brain injury. It may be more of a being dazed and confused, and there may be slower reaction times. So there are tests out there that can be administered on the field to determine whether someone needs to be removed from play. The military also has similar diagnostics. When it comes to the VA, like I said, the person usually has ongoing symptoms that they may not realize are related to their brain injury or brain injuries.
Yeah, so sad. Are there new treatments or research results about TBI by the VA?
Yes, I mean, we have a very active research program, both in developing better diagnostics that can detect brain injuries that have occurred in the past that might be contributing to either cognitive or sensory issues, pain issues, especially headache. Headache is a very common problem in veterans who have had traumatic brain injury. And even some of the behavioral issues, impulsivity, anger, depression, anxieties, they all can be related to previous brain injuries. And
we're
so, we have validated therapies in the VA that help people with their symptoms when they are still symptomatic from brain injuries that they've that they received while being in service, and
yeah,
they are very effective. The most important part is getting people in to be diagnosed.
Yeah, I so agree. So people listening to this, please spread the word. We're speaking with Dr. Stuart Hoffman. He is the program manager for Brain Health and Injury Portfolio and the Rehabilitation Research and Development Service at the Department of Veteran Affairs. So we, again, are thrilled to have him with us and hear somebody who really is in the middle of this. So when we've got people listening who know people in this situation, we have veterans, how can a veteran find out what studies are being done and how they can possibly participate?
There are many studies that the VA is sponsoring right now. One of the major ones that we have is called the Chronic Effects of Neurotrauma Consortium. We actually are partnering with the DOD in this consortium where we're recruiting both active duty and reserve and guard military people as well as veterans. And the main centerpiece of this study is a longitudinal study that's going to follow the service member or veteran as long as we're able to, and to help follow and so that we can characterize the injury over time, and that will help with future clinical trials and future for treatments and for diagnostics, so we can better tell when someone has a brain injury and better be and have more ability to treat it. That's one, and then we have other ones that are looking at how to improve novel methods in imaging the brain so that we can detect how brain injuries change over time and develop better imaging diagnostics. We also are developing treatments. We have a couple clinical trials that are under review that help things that you don't normally associate with brain injuries. that's injured, it can disrupt how your hormones are released.
For you, doctor, how exciting is it to see that you've got some of this cutting-edge research and possibilities of really helping a lot of people out there as it gets better and better?
It is very exciting. I've been doing brain injury for almost 35 years, and I think this is the most exciting time I've seen in the last 35 years. We're on the cusp of some major breakthroughs, and I'm amazed by the VA researchers and their dedication and the speed that they work. And this is a very complex issue. So when I talk about speed, it may not be like tomorrow, but the way the advances are coming, it's very exciting.
Well, Dr. Stuart Hoffman, thank you so much for joining us. And again, for people listening out there, go to www.research.va.gov, and you may qualify for some of this research to, you know, get more information and actually participate in some of these studies. Doc, thank you.
Thank you, and I want to thank our veterans for their service and for their enthusiastic participation in VA research. We rely on them for all the progress that we have made in the past and in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doc.
You're welcome.
So once again, traumatic brain injury, we know that we've talked to many veterans who have suffered from that, and it was interesting to talk to Dr. Hoffman about the difference between sports injury, brain injury, and a little bit about what's happened certainly with those that are veterans too. You mentioned headaches and what are the symptoms and how incredibly important that is. You know, the good news is, as he said, it's an exciting time, and because people are willing to participate, this is huge so that they can detect the early signs that can indicate TBI, headaches, irritability, sleep disorders, memory problems, slower thinking, depression. Those symptoms can lead to long-term mental and, of course, physical health problems. And how do you go about your daily life? How do you do your daily activities when you're in that circumstance? And the answer is it's so tough, and it's so tough on family relationships and just in general integrating into communities and being a member of society. And we know and we feel for all of those people. In fact, the Department of Defense estimates that 22%, these are hard stats, of all combat casualties from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars are brain injuries. And the VA has tested over 95,000 veterans with a diagnosis of TBI. So this, again, couldn't be more timely. And Dr. Hoffman is right there at the forefront of this. As he said, with the 3-plus decades of working on this and now seeing where we are, how incredibly exciting is this that perhaps there are so many people that are, well, there are people that are already benefiting, but perhaps there's even more in the future. So we thank Dr. Hoffman, rather, for coming on, and we thank all of you for listening to this version of America Tonight.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.